There's nothing podcasters love more than hearing feedback from listeners. If you guys are avid listeners of Polar Opposites and you've been listening week to week, we want to hear from you guys. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. In addition, you can follow us on our Instagram page at Polar Opposites Pod, and you can also leave us a listener letter at polaropposites.pod@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss another episode. We really appreciate all the love and support we've gotten from you guys thus far, and with that being said, we'll keep this short and sweet, and we hope you guys enjoy the show.
Guys, it's Nikki.
It's Justin.
We are here with Polar Opposites.
Yes, two people with polar opposite views sometimes. So this question was raised to me. One of the listeners asked me, you know, Justin, the podcast is called Polar Opposites, but you and Nikki, you really don't agree or you really don't disagree on things much. And I was like, interesting. The podcast name, it's more than about agreeing and disagreeing. For one, Nikki is a woman. I'm a man. Nikki is an Nikki is an extrovert, or no, Nikki is an introvert.
And Justin's an extrovert.
Definitely. And Nikki is pretty, and I'm handsome. So those are...
Wait a minute. Let's back up. So the name is really about, I guess, our personalities and who we are as people, because, I mean, on the podcast, we pick the topics that we talk about in real life, but me and Justin actually are friends and we do hang out and talk to each other. So there are really a lot of things that are different about us.
Right. It's more than about agreeing and disagreeing for sure.
Yeah. Because I mean, when we talk about certain issues, we might choose a topic that we both think is an issue and we might present different opinions on it, whether they are polar opposite opinions.
Right.
May or may not be true.
Right. It just depends. But I just wanted to, like, clear that up so y'all understand, like, where the name comes from.
Yeah, we are polar opposites.
Yes. But this week, we are joined with a guest. Hey, Bomi.
Hey, guys. Yeah. It's Bomi.
No, but this week, we're talking about religion, so we brought Bomi on here to give us a different perspective, per se.
Per se.
Yeah.
But I'm a church girl.
Yeah. This week is kind of bittersweet for me and Nikki, I guess, because we're both graduating. But I believe that graduation is like death.
Okay.
It's imminent. It's going to happen. There's nothing you can do to stop it. So you just have to let go and let it happen.
You know, this is actually interesting. So I went to see a therapist a couple months ago. And I was talking to her about this, like about graduating, and mm-hmm. she told me that a lot of people actually feel like graduating is like a period of grief. Ooh. For some people, you're actually losing a lot. Like for us, if we go back home, we're potentially losing our freedom.
It's real.
Like you're losing your potential freedom and like the ability to like not work, to kind of do what you want whenever. Mm-hmm. So like you're losing a lot, and it's like, when you go through these life transitions, you lose something, but at the same time, you do gain things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, like, transition periods can be so scary.
Right. So, this is definitely a transition period for both of us. So, regardless of how it goes, we're going to come out on the other side. But it's definitely bittersweet to be ending your college years, because mm-hmm. it's the time of your life where you're most free, you're away from home, and you just get to experience things that you never get to experience at home, I guess.
Yeah.
But if y'all follow us on our Instagram page, you saw that I posed a question to you guys. And the question I posed was, is it problematic for somebody to not be attracted to anybody of their own race? So we got a variety of answers. But I wanted to pose the question to Nikki and Bomi and get their opinion on what they think of the situation.
So I think that it can be problematic if you, maybe if you see your own race as not being attractive, like, because to me, I feel like you should see beauty in yourself. So, like, maybe that projects onto the people that you're attracted to. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you only have to be attracted to the people of your own race, because for me, I know that's not true. Like, right. I'm attracted to a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. But I think it is problematic when you don't find anyone of your own race to be attractive.
Yeah. Bomi, what do you think?
I think I agree. But a lot of times when I see this issue come up, it's a lot of like, well, you know, I guess black women, they're not respectful.
Oh my God.
Or they're,
no,
and that's
just,
why.
There is that thing of like the angry black woman. She's controlling. She's got attitude. She got this. She
so
got
there's
that.
No way just, I can
like,
be
I'm not going to be with her.
Yeah.
I think that's problematic. But that's only dealing with like our own race.
Right.
But,
right.
you know, I guess it depends on, like, what the feelings or the motives behind it are. Because I do know people, like, I have this one friend, she says she only likes Asian guys, mm-hmm. and she's white.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I didn't think that was that problem. Like, when she told me, I didn't think it was that problematic.
I think it's problematic, because the reason I raised the question is because I have a problematic person in my life. And she said that she's not attracted to anybody Asian. She is also Asian. Mm-hmm. Anybody Asian, no matter how attractive or successful they are, she says she just doesn't find her own people attractive. And I found this so strange, because it's like, what is it about your own people that you don't find,
like,
attractive?
Yourself, right. But your she loves parents, siblings, like, you don't find them beautiful.
No, she loves white boys. That's her type. So I was like, red flag one.
Yeah, like, to me, that situation's kind of problematic. Like, because you, your entire family, like, your people, like, you don't find any attraction in that.
And I don't know if this is another red flag, but she's also in a white sorority.
But because is she only attracted to, like, white boys, not other races?
I think she's been on dates.
She only likes white boys and no one else.
Well, white boys is her type. She'll date other people that aren't white, but for the most part, like, that's her type. Asians, not it. Like, that's what she believes in.
Interesting.
I know.
Weird.
Yes.
But okay.
A lot of stuff has been happening in the news, and it's been wild. I don't know if you guys have been hearing about the Alabama abortion bill. Very controversial.
Very, very controversial.
So, I think the way the law goes is that after 6 weeks, you are no longer able to get an abortion.
Yes. So, I guess the thing with that is that a lot of girls don't know that they're pregnant at 6 weeks. I think not for everyone, but I think a lot of people figure out at, like, 2 to 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you have your period once a month, so it's like, okay, I'm 2 weeks late. Some people might not even remember. Like, some people meticulously track their periods, but, like, I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it comes, it comes.
Mm-hmm. And if it does,
it's late.
And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Like, I might notice, like, oh, a week later. And then sometimes periods are just late because of stress or, like, other things going on in your life. Mm-hmm. Your hormones are off. Like, you don't know what's going
on. So they don't know whether they're pregnant or not. And it could be well after 6 weeks.
That you first find out.
Exactly.
So it's like, okay, even if I find out at the moment
possible,
I find out and, like, you make this decision, what if that's at 7 weeks or 6 weeks and 2 days? You're not going to be able to do it anymore.
Right. And the thing is, it's not about, I believe in, like, a woman's right to choose whatever she wants for her body, like, regardless of whatever religious view I have or anything. I just think that it's right for women to be able to choose what happens to them. And I don't think that it's right for men to be dictating what happens to a woman's body. Because the controversy was shown that it was, like, what, 20 or so
25 white men
that signed this into law.
So I guess the problem is that I think people should have the choice to do what they want with their body.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I don't know, it doesn't make sense. You're not a woman. You don't have a uterus. You're not going to push this baby out. You're not paying child support from the day you got her pregnant. Like, you're not going through all of that. You're not going through possible postpartum depression.
No.
You're not going through, like, really maybe having to put your life on hold for this child.
No, because I look at it like this. I can never, like, tell a woman what she can do with her body, because I think about pregnancy. I could never, like, I told Nikki this. I could never, like, squeeze a watermelon from my butthole. So why would I, like, so it's not right for me to ever think that I have the right to tell a woman what she can do with her body.
Yeah, like, how do these men really believe that they know what's best for a woman?
No, they don't.
You know, the crazy thing is, I've actually heard that a lot of white women were involved.
Yes, okay,
in
that's another controversy with this.
Yeah.
And it also has to do with our current administration.
Right.
Because the way people are thinking, oh, it's all these white men that are voting this certain way, but there are a lot of white women that are standing alongside these white men, and they may be doing it quietly, but, like, they are a big part of that vote that is keeping these people in power, keeping them in your local elections, your, like, state, federal elections. Like, people are voting, and if you I'm an advocate for this. If you think your vote does not matter,
it does.
It does.
And let me tell you why. Your vote matters absolutely, because elections have consequences.
Exactly.
They really do.
Yeah.
As much as that white woman is going to vote, you need to go out and vote and counter that.
Because they put their womanhood or their whiteness before their womanhood.
Yeah, which is so messed up. But my thing is that your vote is so important because the president picks who gets to be on the Supreme Court. And the reason why they signed this into law, they know it's controversial. They know that people are going to countersue. Their goal is that they countersue. Yeah. They know that Kavanaugh is on the Supreme Court. And guess what? That Roe v. Wade that they hate, that's going to be overturned.
Yeah. To me, it's so crazy that Roe v. Wade was, what, 72?
Mm-hmm. It's established precedent.
It was almost 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we're going back in time 50 years. Like, do y'all not see a problem with what's going on today?
People are saying The Handmaid's Tale is coming to life.
We are going back in time. I'm not trying to go back in time. I'm not trying to lose my rights.
America takes two steps forward and then 35 steps back. It's so sad.
Go back to Nyjah.
Yeah, so you guys, you got to vote. This upcoming election in 2020 is very pivotal. You got to vote.
Please get out and vote. Go register now. It takes like 2 minutes to register. It's so quick. If you're in college, there are people out there harassing you to register.
And it shouldn't even be that way.
Do it. It's easy.
Right. So enough of this doom and gloom. There was actually some there's actually some positive news. So Morehouse University, they had their commencement ceremony, and their speaker that was their commencement speaker was a billionaire named Robert Smith. So Robert Smith, at the end of his speech, he said that he was going to pay off the student loans of everybody in the class of 2019, which I thought was amazing.
Wait a minute.
Amazing.
Let me transfer real quick.
I think that's amazing. Imagine how happy you were if you had like hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans and then this billionaire's like, what? In a snap of the Thanos finger.
Gone.
All these loans is going to be gone. Because student loans is one of the worst crippling ways that...
It follows you for life, really. Because if you don't make enough or if you don't choose a large enough percentage, like, you're not going to be able to pay it off. And it continues to grow. Like, even if you got 10K, like, that's... You're probably going to be paying off the like interest. 15K. Which is crazy.
Yeah. I think student loans is one of the worst ways that you can cripple your economy and your future workforce. Because if you think about it, being a doctor is like a great field and these people go through so much education. But if you think about it, in order to be a doctor, you have to get into so much debt.
Like $200,000 or more.
And imagine if we said that anybody that wants to be a doctor, they don't have to pay that debt and they can just go in and be a doctor and graduate debt free. There would be so many more doctors.
That's what they're doing
in New York. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Imagine, like, there would be more motivated people that want to do medicine.
And I think just for college in general, though, because for a lot of people, money is one of the factors that prevents them from seeking a higher degree. Mm-hmm. And it's like, people are like, go to college, you need a degree for this, you need this many degrees, you need a master's, you need this for this job to make money. But, like, money might be something that's keeping you from seeking this degree.
And I think there's a Democratic candidate that's talking about...
Elizabeth Warren.
She
proposed that... I think elimination of student debt, right?
I think it's actually feasible because if you look at the way the budget is set up, if you look at the budget,
the wall like seems logical to some people.
Like, if you'll just reallocate a small percentage towards education, then like a lot of these costs could be alleviated. Like for real, if you look at the military budget, it's really crazy because we're not in a war.
Yeah.
But like
we're not
like it's a fact, we're not in a war right now, so like where is all this money going to? Can y'all put it toward education,
please? But imagine, I'd be so happy if my debt was like being eliminated. So I think that's amazing that Robert Smith was able to do that for all those students. Another story that I saw, Disney, they're trying to take over the world. So Disney, they have now acquired a 33% stake in Hulu.
No, not now. In 5 years.
Oh, in 5 years. But 5 years now, same difference. But that's a huge deal because Disney owns, what else? ESPN, they own ABC, they own Marvel.
Oh, that's true. Do they have, is DreamWorks part of Disney and Pixar? Or are they like
separate?
Pixar
is
separate.
DreamWorks, no.
I don't know.
They own a lot.
And they're going to, I don't know, what is the rules on monopolies? Because I think it's too much that Disney is able to acquire so much.
Yeah, we live in a capitalist society. I'm going to just say that.
It's thriving.
Because, like, there are some rules. I think after some railroad commission thing in the 1800s. Yeah. I learned this in history. I remember. But there's some law. I guess you can't have 100%. I don't know what the law is. But there's some law that prevents it to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they'll ever, I mean, it's really impossible to get 100% of everything because I feel like there's always going to be some kind of competitor out there.
Needs to be.
Like, even if they get Hulu, you got Netflix, you got Amazon Prime Video. Mm-hmm. What else is there?
Speaking of Amazon, though.
Oh, yeah. Amazon.
Amazon's going to take over too.
Soon, if they haven't already.
And I don't have a problem with that.
Is that your hot take?
I don't have a problem.
What's the problem?
Amazon, it makes our lives so convenient, but at the same time, how morally, like, great is it that one company is basically dominating all of our lives?
And I heard their workers are really, like,
working overtime and...
I guess supply, demand.
I think that as long as they're not overreaching, I'm okay with it for now. But if I see that they're trying to acquire more stuff, I'll start to get concerned.
I guess I can get a TV, I can get a bed, I can get a fridge, I can get groceries. Plants, I can get groceries on Amazon. Do I need to leave my house? No.
No.
Never.
All right.
Hot take.
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 Here's our hot take of the week.
Honestly, I feel like I'm not like a person with really extreme opinions on a lot of things, but I don't know how y'all feel about this, but I feel like chocolate is a disgusting flavor.
Really?
Like 90% of the time.
Flavor. Okay.
Yeah, like flavor. Okay. I like brownies.
Okay.
I like chocolate chip cookies.
Okay.
I hate chocolate ice cream. I hate chocolate cake. I hate chocolate icing. I like Nesquik.
Okay.
But I haven't ate that or drank that in like years.
Right. Were you a fan of Ovaltine? Ovaltine.
Like,
I don't like that.
I don't like that.
What about
I don't like Milo.
Milo.
Chocolate Milo.
What am I drinking powdered milk for? I can go to the grocery store and buy. We're not in Nigeria.
We're not.
So I don't need to be drinking that.
Okay.
Like,
I agree with that somewhat. The only thing chocolate that I don't like is chocolate ice cream because it tastes nasty.
Chocolate ice cream.
You know, I was a hater of chocolate ice cream.
It's disgusting.
This weekend I went to Amy's ice cream and they had like this mudslide and I was like, okay, you know, I don't like chocolate ice cream, but I'm going to taste it and it was good.
Really?
I don't know what they put in it. I mean, I know it had a little
alcohol.
Yeah, it was.
Okay,
it
was like, you know, alcohol makes everything good.
Maybe that's what kind of blinded me to
it. But I can do chocolate chips.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to go out and buy a Hershey's bar, any type of chocolate bar, and just eat chocolate like that. Like, I may have a little piece. I can have a Snickers, you
but
know,
not...
coated in chocolate, but I'm not trying to eat whole chocolate.
Okay. Interesting. I love chocolate. I don't, like, I'm not obsessed with it, but yeah, it's alright.
Like, chocolate cake, like, those lava cakes.
Yeah. Wait, lava cakes with little vanilla.
What, the cream is in the middle and it, like, busts down?
I don't like chocolate, like, desserts like that.
Bust down, chocolate.
Chocolate cheesecake, chocolate mousse,
that's nice.
All of that.
Yeah.
Throw it away.
Controversial. I think people will definitely be upset about that.
I know they will.
Bomi, what is your hot take this week?
So Sunday, this little show that y'all been tweeting about like crazy ended finally.
Yes.
So my timeline is purified.
And what show would that be?
Game of Thrones, y'all's little Dungeons and Dragons. Y'all's little
Dungeons and Dragons.
Like the incest show. I don't know what y'all were hyping up about, but yeah, it's over.
It's crazy because people have been hyping the show up forever. But now, these past few weeks, every Sunday,
the
y'all, get, y'all get on. I hate the show. It's so stupid. They deserved a better death. So y'all are now talking trash about your favorite show.
Yeah.
I've never thought that Game of Thrones was trash. It's just never been a show that was for me. I don't like Vikings and Dungeons.
Vikings? Shut up.
I don't like any of those type of medieval type shows. It's just not my taste. I like Handmaid's Tale, things that are more grounded in reality. You know?
That's grounded in reality.
Well, it's like
with this abortion law,
dystopians are never reality.
To some degree, there's always a little bit of a dystopian that is grounded in some kind of reality. Like the Capitol and the Hunger Games, that's just like the Met Gala. Like all these rich people dressed in these extravagant wild outfits, it's just like the Met Gala.
Oh,
but
no.
Yes, the Game of Thrones people are going to be mad with that hot take because...
Yeah, sorry guys. Sorry.
Damn.
It's over,
so we don't have to see it anymore.
It's funny when you, I guess there's been two videos now where like someone found like a Starbucks cup in the
I saw about that.
I think a water bottle.
Yes, a producer was lazy and they didn't look at what they were doing. They accidentally left the Starbucks cup they were drinking on the table during filming. It was filmed and people saw the
like
Starbucks
episode,
logo during Game of Thrones.
Sloppy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's how sloppy the season has been. No wonder the fans are mad.
Yeah.
No wonder. But my hot take is about kiosks. Whenever y'all go out to eat somewhere, they slide your card and then they turn the screen to you and then they ask you for a tip. No, I'm not tipping you. Like, why would I tip you if you didn't do anything? It's one thing for me to pay or tip somebody for great service, or if they were a server and they were coming to me 5 times asking me how the food was and I lie and say it was good. Like, that's one thing. But another thing is, like, to not do anything and then ask for a tip. Like, I'm not giving you a tip.
No one's forcing you to tip.
I know, but
it's like the pressure. They're right there in front of you.
But the thing is, they can't see it. The only time I ever feel pressure is if someone is standing behind me.
I don't care.
Because the other person can't see what I click. The cashier can't see what I click. So I feel free to click no tip.
Exactly.
But if someone's standing behind me, I think for a little bit. But then I still click no tip.
But then they're like, oh, that black person.
Black people don't tip. Well, I tip, but in certain situations, what am I tipping on $4 for?
That's what I'm saying. But my thing is that they didn't do anything to warrant me giving them more money.
I guess it's kind of like those tip jars. You know, I worked at a Froyo place and like we had a tip jar out. I was like, oh, tips. Free money, because I'm not doing anything. Right. I'm pressing a couple buttons, and that's it. But it was nice to get a little tip at the end, and that's it.
Right. And the same thing with the kiosk. Nobody's forcing me, but I agree with the same thing with the getting multiple receipts. You know how sometimes they give you a receipt, and then it's one of those receipts that asks for a tip, and then for you to sign?
I'm a line through, sign my
name. It makes me nervous, because I'm like, shit, I don't want a tip, because I'm the cheapest person ever. I hate... I hate tipping.
I don't really tip on to-go things because I don't really see a point in it. No. But like, if I'm going somewhere and I'm sitting down and someone's bringing me food, I'm going to tip.
Okay. I don't know.
I thought you were going to say kiosk, like how like...
I thought you were going to say McDonald's, like Best Buy or something.
Oh.
Like the kiosk at a store.
No, because that technology is changing. It's the kiosk like swipe card thing.
Yeah.
True. So if I see one of those, just letting y'all know, I'm not going to be tipping.
Oh my God.
But yeah, that's my hot take this week. So now we're going to transition into our main topic. So Nikki, what are we discussing today?
Religion.
Yes. So for starters, let me just go through the room and I'll ask y'all where y'all stand when it comes to religion. Okay, I'll start then. So for me, I've never really been like that religious of a person. For one, I don't go to church. My parents asked me to go to church, but I really have never been a church person growing up. Growing up, we grew up Catholic, so we always went to Catholic church. And I have always gone to like a white or Hispanic Catholic church. And I was always a thinker when I was younger. So whenever I saw people like bowing their heads and praying, I would look around the room and I'd be like, what do they see that I don't see? Because my thing is that every time they asked me to pray, I'd be like, okay, God, can you hear me? And then silence. And then I'd be like, okay, God, are you there? Silence. And I was like, where is God? Like, is he listening to me? Like, I was like, Mom, who are they talking to? Because if God is not talking to me, is there something wrong with me? Like, I don't get it. So I've always been a questioner. I know.
I was like, oh.
I've always been a questioner when it comes to religion. Never really, like, held really any strong beliefs when it comes to religion. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That's my thing. We grew up Catholic, and yeah, I'm not ascribed to any religion per se.
As for me, grew up Christian, like Pentecostal, I guess. Mm-hmm. I've always gone to like a Nigerian church, so
those that's African churches.
Yeah, it's a dynamic in itself, but
very different.
Yeah. My parents were both deacons, ministers, so I was always there like Mondays, workers' meetings, all sorts of stuff, and I'm currently also a part of that. I'm in the church choir, so I'm there 8:15 Sunday morning.
Wow.
And I go to practice on Thursday nights, prayer meetings, all that jazz.
So you're a real church girl.
Yeah, I'm a church girl.
Why do you say it like that?
Yeah, I mean...
Wait, why do I say it like that?
It's almost like she's a church girl.
No, I'm not saying it in a negative way.
I'm a church girl. Like, my parents, that was like, want church and education. That's paramount to everything. Yeah.
Okay. Me, I'm not that religious right now. I don't think I ever have been that religious.
She's demonic.
Hey! Oh.
That's what I like.
What? I'm not demonic, contrary to whatever Justin just whispered. No, I grew up in the church, Episcopal?
Episcopal?
I don't know. See, that's like, what I was my parents say different. And
Episcopal.
See, I always said how my parents said it. I said it to someone. They're like, what? Anyway, Episcopal Church is what I grew up in. But later on, we started going to non-denominational church. My dad didn't really go with us. But yeah, so like I grew up Episcopal, then we started going to like a non-denominational church closer to home. I feel like I was going to say something and I forgot. Anyway, I was not that religious. I'm still not that religious, but I grew up in church. I've never had a big problem with like religion or anything like that. I think I only have a problem with religion when people turn it into maybe a reason for doing something bad, or they weaponize it, or they try to use it against people.
Bumi, what were you telling me like about your parents, that they have like polar opposite views when it comes to... Okay, explain. Give us some tea.
So my parents, like I said, super, super religious. Both ministers. They're divorced now. I guess maybe that is part of this. Right. But so my dad is a very... conservative Trump supporter. And my mom, she loved Obama. She's a Democrat through and through. I mean, see, I feel like she's more, I guess, central, because some things, like, she's not pro-LGBT. She's not, that's definitely
she's
African.
Like independent, has her own views.
Yeah, okay. But she votes Democratic most times. She could never see herself voting for Trump. But my dad is like, Trump is pushing God's agenda. That is the, who God put there.
Does he have a MAGA hat?
Yeah.
Oh!
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
But he definitely wears, like, you know, you can tell just the way he dresses.
I can tell the type
of guy. Yeah, in my mind, I know.
You can tell.
I know what it looks
I can
like.
And I love him. We're close, but whenever we talk politics, it's like, it's been heated.
Damn. I can see. That's a divided household,
like,
for sure.
Told me global warming is just... And I was like, wait. And he's always like, you go to a liberal school, they're teaching
it's
you.
It's not a liberal school.
It's really not.
No, I mean, like, it's not just being, like, going to liberal school that make you know that the climate is changing.
Yeah, and things like...
You can open a textbook, you can read an article.
Oh my God.
Science. Like, it's not
So he's one of those that believes that the school is, like, making you liberal or something
like
that?
Well, he thinks that, like... The agenda, like, whenever I'm like, but we talk about this in, like,
you know,
academic
my parents
study.
Are sometimes like that. They think that I told you this. They think that a white person is whispering things in my ear to change my mind about things. But it's no, I have a mind.
Yeah.
And I read things and I'm, like, educated about things. Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting having, like, the
stark.
Two. But then when I talk to my mom, I'm way too, I guess.
Liberal?
Yeah, liberal for her.
Really?
So
I think that's how my parents are also. I think a lot of. And at least for my parents, they vote Democratic, and I think they identify as Democrats. Mm-hmm. But there are certain things, like LGBT or, I don't know, stuff like that, that they're more conservative
about. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But I think it more has to do with the culture of Nigeria and things that are not talked about and taboos than it does to deal with, like, whatever American... politic things.
Yeah, because I think I told you one day, whenever, like, Obama came out in support of gay rights, my parents were so upset. My mom was like, Obama, he's a gay president. I was like, oh my
God.
Just
because he supports gays does not make him gay. I don't think they understand human rights.
It was around 2012 whenever he came out in support for LGBT. So when I went to Nigeria that summer, all the village boys and girls were asking me, do you like Obama? And then I'd be like, yeah, he's fine. And then be like, why? He supports the gays. I was like, wow.
And so?
And they'll say, so you're gay.
Yes,
gay.
Yeah. Wow. So if you're Nigerian, you know, it's not that a person is gay. They are
a gay.
But I wanted, the reason why we thought of this topic for this episode of the podcast is because I was sitting around one day and I was like, man, is our generation religious? Because I really don't feel like our generation is as religious as the previous generations. And because of that, why is that?
I think that our generation is getting less religious. I think it has a lot to do with how we're acculturated.
Okay.
So I think a lot of, I guess, our parents' generation is... Maybe they started going to church less and they didn't take their kids to church. So I know a lot of people when I was growing up, they just didn't go to church. Like, I'd be like, oh, I have to go to church. I'm like, why? It's like, what are you doing? Like I had some sort of autonomy that I did not have. So like, and they would just do whatever on Sunday mornings. But I was like, oh no, I have to go to church. Like I can't do anything until like 2 or 3 p.m. Honestly,
no, that's story of my life.
That's when I get done with church. But a lot of people didn't understand that. So I think a lot of people around me, they weren't like that into religion because maybe their parents were getting less into it. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of people would say, oh yeah, we're Christian, but then they only go to church on Easter, Christmas,
yeah,
you know,
the holidays.
That type of Christian. So I think like when it's like, oh, I'm Christian, but I only grew up going to church on these days, it's like, oh, I'm not really, I don't feel any inclination to like continue this.
And right. I think part of it is that our generation believes that you don't have to go to church to be religious.
That's true. But yeah. I think that, I am our generation. Mm-hmm. I don't think you really have to go to church to be religious. You know, I think there are different religions and different like types of congregations, mm-hmm. whether it's a synagogue or the mosque or church, that I think they provide a sense of community.
Yeah.
So you're,
there's positives for
sure.
It's
positive.
Yeah, fellowship and
fellowship, community, being with people like minds, getting closer in your relationship with God, mm-hmm. or whatever deity that we're talking about, and just being in that type of community. You know, I do like church sometimes. I've been to a lot of different churches. Okay. A lot of it is about finding your home.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it really is about finding your home.
And I've never felt like I've been at home at
anywhere.
My church. Maybe anywhere per se. Because I told y'all, we grew up Catholic, so I've never liked Catholic church. Every time I would walk in, I'm like, who died? Like,
I've heard mass.
Depressing. I've been to Catholic church, and it's very monotone. Yeah.
Rigid.
It's very rigid. And it's like, you do this, you do that. There's no, like, it's home. Not lively, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The only thing I did like is that on Sundays, I wouldn't miss football because church is like 45 minutes. We'd go to church and I still have time to make it for the game.
Yeah.
I guess there's that. But like, then there's also Nigerian churches.
Oh my goodness.
8:15, so like 1 p.m.
That are hours and hours long. And for me, I could do like 2 hours. after that, I got tired.
Max.
I was like, what are we still talking about?
2 hours is a dream.
No, I told you when I went to church in Nigeria, when I was in Nigeria in my dad's village, we were there from 9 to 2 p.m.
No.
And I tell you, we leave at 2 p.m., the church is not over.
Yeah.
The church was not over. It didn't seem like it was anywhere near close to being over. But first of all, I told you the story of how they wouldn't let us in.
Right.
Wait, what?
Maybe I'll tell that. Actually, it's good for a religion episode. So I went to this church in my dad's village. Mm. And the way my dad was talking about this church, he's like, this is my church. This is my church. But we went to this church, and he did not know the church rules. And I was like, so this is the church you've been talking about, but you don't know the rules. There are different churches and different customs, mm-hmm. which is fine, and I'm going to respect that. I think you should respect religious policies, whatever. But my dad did not tell us any of these things. My mom's not from the same village. We didn't know. So we were supposed to cover our heads.
Mm.
And I have three sisters and also my mom. So 5 of us did not have our heads covered, and they wouldn't let us into the church. But the thing is, we went to that church because we were doing like a Thanksgiving kind of thing for the house that we built in the village.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, we're part of this program. We couldn't get into the church. And then maybe 30 minutes after we got there, some guy's like, okay, you guys can come in. So we get in, we start walking to our seats. It's really crowded on that day. And we're about to sit down, and then this lady comes and is like, you guys can't be in here. You have to leave.
Oh, my goodness.
So, like, first of all, we went through the embarrassment of, like, coming to church, our dad not telling us that we had to have our head covers. Because if he told us that at first, we would have just done it, you know?
Yeah.
But we had already gone to the church. It's in the village. There's no parking. Like,
yeah.
It was just was a whole ordeal to even get there. And then he didn't tell us about this. We got in. The guy is like, okay, he's part of the church congregation. Like, he let us in. And then this lady comes and is like, you guys have to leave. So this is embarrassing.
Wow.
It wasn't like the seat right next to the door. We walked through the church, like, to these seats and had people, like, scoot over just so we could fit because we were already part of the program.
And then you have
And then we had to leave. And we just sat outside the church, like, like near listening for 5 hours.
And jeez. I was like, this that's is embarrassing.
Crazy. That's embarrassing.
Yes, it just brings back memories because every time I would go to church with my parents, we were always late. Like we would leave five minutes yes. before church starts.
I don't know Nigerian that can be on time.
No, they can't. Ooh. And it's annoying because we would go to church and then all the seats would be taken. And then we would be standing against the wall and everybody's looking at us. Those black people can never show up on time.
Oh, God. Okay, that's not how my church was. Even like the white church, the Episcopal church I went to. Like we would come late, but I guess it wasn't that full.
Obvious.
Mm-hmm. Or like, I mean, it was obvious, but it wasn't like where there are no seats at all. Okay. And the thing is, we always went to the last service. So there's no reason for us to be late.
Because you have all day to get there on time.
I mean, it's like 11, not all day, but like. We still had an hour.
A reasonable amount of time.
I'd be sitting in my house for an hour waiting, just waiting for people to get
to come down.
We're going to church. We're not going to the Met Gala. But you know,
and
I think people are acting like we're going to the Met Gala.
Right. What were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, like, I mean, I guess our church has been trying to get at us for, because we're all Nigerians, so we're always late. That's in our blood. Right. We do that a lot.
African time.
But we've been getting called out a lot because I come late most Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. But like, it's like, I have to dress this way. Mm-hmm. And because I'm in choir, I had to wear a certain color, random color scheme. Last week, I think they called like ox blood and cream
blood.
And like,
hey,
which is like maroon. I was like, why didn't y'all just say maroon?
They call it ox blood.
Yeah, they're what? So dramatic. So sometimes it's hard coming on time, and then I have to do my makeup, do this, and 8:15 is really early. Like Sundays do not feel like weekends mm-hmm. to me because it's like I'm there, and then I have other obligations after, and so
Sundays.
Yeah,
is
it's
like,
kind of interesting that yeah we can't be late.
Damn.
And then when I am late, it's like, oh. Because they won't let me minister. Because like if I,
because your parents are
really, some people are so dramatic about being late. Like yeah. they won't, like that doesn't make sense.
I'm like,
y'all need to be listening to
practice,
the word of the Lord,
like,
not looking at who's late and
yeah.
who's not. That's another thing. Like for certain churches, it's not even like they go for church. I guess they go to gossip and get the tea on what's
there
happening
are,
with
there
everybody.
There are some churches yeah. like I wouldn't say that every church is like that, right. but there are some churches, and I guess people within the churches that are like that.
Yeah.
And that's problematic.
One thing that yeah. made me really like start, I guess, questioning religion and stuff is whenever I would see these whole like services where they're supposed to summon a spirit or something, all of a sudden somebody gets the Holy Spirit in them and starts jiggling and shaking and moving.
Oh,
and I'm like, this is fake. I was like, I've never felt the Holy Spirit before. This has to be fake. These people are like having damn near seizures and like, oh, God, I feel it. I feel it. Then.
So what do you think about that?
I was going to say, I think as a kid, mm-hmm. like when it would happen in my church, I
that would scare me.
Holy Spirit, like speaking in tongues, that's commonplace. Okay. That's normal, commonplace. Place. Like
really?
We had a prophet come
okay.
a few weeks ago, and that service ran to like 2 because it was just like he was speaking in tongues and people were falling over and this and that. And I've never.
So what do you think about that?
Like I speak in tongues, and I think it was something that like I was so nervous to do, and like it was like after my baptism, they were like, okay, start speaking in tongues. I'm like. Wait,
so is it natural or is it something that you're putting like a performance
so,
you're putting on?
Like, what
when
does
I
it feel like
when I was initially
happens?
Told like, okay, do it. I was like, why? Like, why would
why?
I do? Like, why would I just? But I think there's times where I'm praying and I do feel like
I'm compelled
personally. Like,
okay.
I'm at a place where what I'm saying in the physical may not be
what you're feeling.
Yeah,
you
like it's
express?
Almost yeah. Okay. So it and I feel like some people are like, ah, that's just nonsense and blah blah blah. Like I've never been to one to like start crying or fall over. Like, and I'm sometimes like, man, what am I not, like, what's going on?
Okay,
so
yeah.
Like,
it seems fake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like
man.
It just seems. I don't know. It seems dramatized.
Yeah.
I
well, not fake. Let me just say.
Like I'm. Yeah.
A lot.
I
yeah.
Like,
a lot.
People are really experiencing like they're feeling this like movement.
Oh,
time,
yeah.
But like I don't know if it's to the point that people should be falling over.
Yeah,
is what I wonder.
Yeah.
I guess when I was younger, my mom's friend had invited her to this convention type. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Oh, I hope
but
it's
it was
not.
A-
I know.
I hope it's not convention like RCCG. Convention.
I don't remember what it was. Honestly,
that was my childhood. Too.
Maybe I'll ask her what it
yeah.
was. I don't remember exactly what it is, but I remember my mom took me and one of my older sisters mm-hmm. with her. And let me tell you, I was so scared of what was happening
wow.
in this place because it was like people speaking in tongues, people mm-hmm. falling over, people doing the works. And I was like, and like, I remember they were like preaching, but honestly, I wasn't getting a message from it. Like, it was just a lot of yelling and screaming and stomping and the Lord has overcome me. But I was like, where are you pulling from the Bible? Where is this message? Like, it was just a lot of what seemed like dramatic screaming. Right. It was honestly kind of scary when I was young.
Yeah.
Because like, it was people screaming, falling on the ground, like speaking in tongues. I was like, what is going on? And I think my mom had went off with her friend, so it was just me and my sister, like, sitting there, like,
damn, I would not leave a kid in that situation.
Well, I mean, like, she didn't, like, leave us, but right, she wasn't right, sitting right next to us, so I didn't know what was happening.
I was gonna say, I mean, okay, I don't know, the falling over and, like, crying, I haven't been compelled that much to do that.
So it's hard for you to say whether it's a performance or not?
The speaking in tongue thing, though, like, that is, like, there is biblical, like, that's the Pentecost, that's kind of what happened, like, Holy Spirit came down, fire came down in the Bible, and they were speaking in different languages. Okay. And like, so I mean, I think it is a thing. I think now I know that feeling of being like, bro, I'm so terrified.
Yeah.
And like, there was one time we were at a convention, because I used to go every summer.
Right.
And this girl who had just led like our small group Bible study, I was like, oh, she's so sweet. She's full of the word of God. Mm. And then we're praying and everything. They're like, pray, 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 pray. And this girl's like, oh, there's a demon inside of me.
Oh, my God.
She's screaming and crying. And I was like, she just taught me. Like, what do you mean there's a demon in you?
You're trying to tell me this is the same girl that told me?
Yeah,
oh
like I was freaked out, and I mean, I'm the type of person where I'm like, oh, I mean,
inside of her,
and they were like, pray for her, pray for her. She was like, I just needed to come out. I was like, bro, oh my god.
In what period did she become like possessed?
I was just like, wait a minute, were you possessed 10 minutes ago?
Was
like,
that the?
And I didn't want to like overthink it.
But at the same time,
yeah, of course, I was like. Shocked.
Damn.
But, I mean, she came back after they took her out to pray for her, and she was like, I've been delivered. So, I guess.
Damn. It's like that.
In that situation, I'd be, like, really skeptical.
Yeah,
it's hard to not be skeptical.
And she was, like, youth, too. It wasn't, like,
she was, like
it was
an
a
older
youth
person.
Convention. Okay. Yeah, so, I don't know. I was kind of torn. It was a lot of, like, okay, yeah. God, I mean, I guess.
My roommate told me a funny story one time. He's black and he goes to a black or went to a black church. So everybody was lined up. It was one of those special services and the pastor would come over and he would put his hand on the person's head.
And pray for them?
And no, they would start falling over like the Holy Spirit.
Everyone?
Yes. As soon as he put his hand on their head, they would fall over and faint. So as they kept doing the line was going on. It got to my roommate and the pastor was like, let the Lord of Jesus bless you. And when I touch your hand, you gonna fall over and be compelled in the name of Jesus. And he put his hand on my roommate's head and my roommate was just looking at him like, bro, what the fuck? when he told me that story, I was dead. It was so funny.
Yeah.
He's like, bro, stop with your tricks or whatever. You're not gonna get me. And I was like, damn. But
that
was
crazy.
So funny.
No, I mean, I've been in the position where I don't do the...
Yeah, it's like they're expecting you to do something, like, but you're...
If I'm not compelled, I'm not going to be faking and be like, oh, yes, I feel it, Lord. No.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
I guess just like religion, I don't know, I think, at least with me, I know a lot of people who are still very involved in religion. Mm-hmm. And I think in our country, I think Christianity has been a problem in our country.
Yeah.
And the way that, so our country is theoretically not a theocracy, you know, but I think there are a lot of times where politicians pull or try to
justify
or make legislation that is based
in religion.
Theoretically based in religion, but they use it in a way that's very negative.
And the thing is, this is supposed to be a separation of church and state.
Yeah.
You can't be tying your religion into laws over the people.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that.
And there are people who are not religious, so you can't, and there is supposed to be a separation of church and state. So, like, you can't be imposing your religious views on millions of people in this country, you know?
Because what about the people that don't ascribe to any religion?
Yeah, it's supposed to be freedom of religion. There are so many things that it's supposed to be, but, like, the politicians aren't really following that. And it's hard to deal with that, and it's hard to feel, or to not feel like it's being forced upon you at times. I know a lot of people feel like that.
Yeah, and that's my thing. I don't have any problem with religion.
Yeah.
Like, I have friends that are religious, and it's no big deal. My only issue, or one of my biggest issue when it comes to religion, of course, is like when people feel the need to put their religion on other people. Yeah. So that's why I've always felt some type of way when it's come to people going and doing mission trips in Africa.
Yeah.
Because they're spreading their religion to these
and
people.
This can really be anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a story not too long ago about this guy who he wanted to spread the word of the Lord. But there's this like remote island that you're not allowed to go to.
I think I saw that.
Yeah. So like these people, they want to keep to their traditions. They don't want to be in touch with the technological world. They want to stay on the island and be themselves, which I think is respectable. You respect that.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually put into law that you're not supposed to go there. So this guy is like, I'm not going to follow the law. I'm going to take the word of the Lord to these people.
Because the Lord is telling me to do this.
To the ends of the earth.
And the thing is, he went to this place and the people there shot him with like a bow and arrow. Because he's coming onto their land.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the law that you cannot go to this island. But he is like, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not going to listen. I'm going to go teach these people about God. Maybe they don't want that. Clearly, they don't want that. It's not even that they don't want your religion. They don't want a lot of things about the outside world.
So,
I feel like you shouldn't feel so entitled to do that. That's really an extreme. But, I mean, when I was in middle school or high school, there was this girl that I was friends with, and she was Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me the story of this girl that was, like, she was friends with that was Christian. And is like really trying to get her to go to church.
Oh, wow.
But she's like, but I'm Muslim. Like, I already have my religion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people need to respect other people's religions. If someone's a religion, I can understand if someone doesn't really have a belief, you want to share the Lord with them. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone already has their own religion,
mm-hmm.
and they're practicing that, why are you going to try and like,
change
their mind?
Yeah, and that's the thing. If we think about slavery and how these colonizers came to Africa and they put their religion on these people, said, this is God, your God is some white man. That makes no sense. So whenever I heard that, it always made me feel some type of way, because all these people, they had their own beliefs, and then you brainwash them to thinking something else, whether you think it's positive or negative. It's not right. And I've always felt some type of way about people like brainwashing and putting their religion on somebody that already had prior beliefs,
right.
You know?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of controversy about how, like, certain people get their religion. You know, like, right now you get it, a lot of people get it from their parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're raised in a household with a certain religion,
mm-hmm.
and usually follow that. A lot of, there are people who deviate from that. They
right.
might find another religion or find no religion at all. But a lot of times it is how we're, socialized
raised,
by our parents. So it's,
because if somebody is Muslim, would they be Muslim if they weren't taught that? If somebody's Christian, would they be Christian if they weren't taught that? Like,
probably
what about
not.
You? Do you think?
I mean, my thing is, I feel like I can take all these criticisms of religion because I don't know if it's maybe New Age Christianity or whatever. A lot of times I've heard people say, like, you know, we're not religious. We want to actually deviate from, I guess, the typical things that we...
the traditional.
Yeah, traditional things that we consider religion, and have more of a relationship with God, a one-on-one with Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like there's a lot of things that maybe I wouldn't have... known without my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a point in my life where I actually was going through a lot, and I had thought, like, you know, I can't understand why these things are going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so many friends that, like, things were going on, similar things, and they were like, okay, I'm dropping, you know, my faith. I don't think God cares about me if that's the case. And I guess for me, it was just like, for some reason, I guess the way my parents raised me, it was like, I couldn't negate that there's a God.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, man, I guess He doesn't care about me.
Right.
I guess He's like, you on your own. Yeah,
feel it
yeah.
a lot of times when you're going through rough things.
Right.
Why do bad things continue to happen to good people?
No,
that's something
that
people struggle
with.
That's
people's
a deep,
like questions are. It's like, why did this bad thing happen to this person?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or like when people are told, oh, it's God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I hate that. Or people say, oh, God wants you to feel the pain so you can feel the light. I don't like that.
Yeah, I guess like, I was reading the story from this woman who, she married really young. She started having kids and all this thing, and she eventually like got divorced. She deviated from that.
Mm-hmm.
And she became not religious anymore. And she was saying that, like some, I think her brother had committed suicide. Wow. And she, you know, it's a time of grieving. A lot of people try and say things that are consoling, yeah, you know? And for a lot of people, it's not consoling to hear, yeah, oh, it's God's, no, plan.
And I don't, like, think really, you don't know the,
yeah, word. It's like, it's like, are you saying that, so my brother deserved to die because, yeah, it's God's plan? Or like, if there's a car crash and, like, I know this guy from high school, he was in a car crash and his mom died. It's like, wow, okay, are you going to tell someone, like, we're in the same car, she, yeah, deserved to die, no, and I, yeah, didn't? Like, it was,
yeah,
like,
her, stuff happens, it's, sometimes. Yeah. I think it's hard to, like, say that it's due to this or, yeah, that, you know? And that's, right, something that I've had to really grapple with, understanding, like, if there's a God, why do bad things continue to happen to good people? Right. And why do, yeah, good things
happen
consider
to bad people?
You know, it doesn't make, yeah, any sense to me. And I don't know. It's something that I've always had to grapple with growing up. And even I continue to grapple with. Because I'm like, what is wrong with me? Is there something wrong with me because I'm not that religious? Am, right, I demonic or possessed, no, or whatever? I don't,
but
I don't,
yeah,
know.
That's the culture.
Am I, is the devil, yeah, in me or whatever?
No, but I think for me, I'm kind of, I don't know, maybe it's the faith aspect, and like a lot of it has just been understanding or believing that, you know, even though these things are happening, it's not that God wants to see us hurt or see us in pain, but a lot of times our human nature and the aspects of how we live life, things happen that maybe he isn't, like, not that he's not overseeing it or seeing what's going on, but like, at the time we have, mm-hmm, free will, like, he, yeah, gives us the choice to make decisions, and he's not going to force us to do yay or nay, and sometimes consequences come with that. Now, I'm not saying that, like, a three-year-old dying from cancer is a consequence of this and that, mm-hmm, like, yeah, ultimately I'm not going to understand it and in its, yeah, full depth and breadth, and, mm-hmm, I think that's one thing about God that is just,
with, yeah, any religion, yeah, it's a lot of, it's putting your faith into it. It's like, even if you have doubt, it's like, do you have that faith? Do you believe
in something?
Yeah.
It's better to believe in something than to believe in nothing, some people think.
I mean,
I think, yeah, also, yeah, the reassurance of the unknown, like, speaking, yeah, of afterlife.
We don't know what happens.
People just say, like, well, I mean, if I subscribe to this, then hopefully when things
end, then, like, you'll, yeah, be good. I, mm-hmm, mean, it's something, like, yeah, my mom talks about a lot.
Yeah.
Is that, like, you know, you do good in this life, and then, like, you'll be well for, like, eternity.
Right.
Yeah, I guess, like, but every religion is different. I,
yes,
guess we've been, yeah, talking about Christianity,
but
like,
other religions, true, too. Like, all the, yeah, stuff that's going on in the Middle East, like, people fighting over stuff that they technically weren't there to understand if it's true or not. But yet, because of these hardcore beliefs that somebody poured into them and told them is true, they're killing each other. Mm-hmm. And I have, yeah, that's so wild. Like, people are killing each other over things that aren't, I guess, per se certain. Like, I'm trying to, like, choose my words wisely. I'm not trying to offend anybody.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. Are you talking about, like, Israel?
Yeah, okay. The Palestine and Israel, yeah, and all of that. Yeah, like,
so that's, I think a lot of that has also to do with, like, human influence of, like, World War II and, mm-hmm, Hitler and the misplacement of Jews and all of that. I don't know the entire history of it. And, like, I've been trying to understand it more and more as time has gone on, because this has been going on for,
right,
a
years,
long time. And it's really an issue that, I guess it's so sad to me when people, like, violence is in the name of religion.
Mm.
And,
yeah,
I think that happens a lot, but I think especially in our country, we attribute it to, not we, not,
mm-hmm,
me,
people, humankind,
attribute it to, like, one particular religion, and then have this whole negative view of a religion of people that over a billion people, like, follow this, like,
right,
Muslim,
yeah,
people. And then, to me, that's so hurtful. How can you say that all Muslim people are bad because of
one
thing one person did, but you're not going to say all Christian people are bad because of this one guy who burned down this church
or is out here and shooting people,
yeah,
and
doing,
so,
blowing,
like,
up abortion,
and think,
yeah,
clinics,
so,
and,
like,
yeah,
what is this, xenophobia?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not just a religion that people are afraid of, really. I don't think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are xenophobic, afraid of the other people, because maybe these people look different than the white,
mm-hmm,
people,
right,
in the U.S.
Yeah.
People hate things that they,
yeah,
don't
understand.
A lot of Americans don't understand the Muslim
religion,
customs and stuff,
yeah,
like that. So because they fear these things and these people, they're like, oh, these people are scary. I see a turban,
so,
or I see
a, it's crazy to me because
burger.
A lot of these people claim they're Christian, but I don't feel like they have Christian beliefs.
It's,
right,
hypocritical.
I really don't.
Yeah, right.
They say, oh, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I believe in this, and then these Muslim people are bad. What?
That doesn't equate.
It doesn't
the crazy
make sense.
Thing is, Jesus probably looked like
a
right.
Middle
That's the tea.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Was Jesus a white man?
No.
He was not. I'm not saying he was necessarily black, but he was not white.
Right. Because my thing is that if you go to Africa, there's pictures on walls everywhere of this white Jesus. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think he was white. And the thing is, I think that that has caused like so much. I wouldn't say it's caused a lot of good, and there's also caused a lot of questionable things to happen. I feel like people like look up to this whiteness whenever they see Jesus or God. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it has like trickle down effects when it comes to people bleaching their skin because they want to be whiter or what.
I don't know. I think that it just has largely to do with society, our global society, mm-hmm. really. Lighter skin is good.
Yeah.
It's good. White people are good. There have been studies of like asking little kids who are brown and black of like which one's a good doll and which one's a bad doll, and they choose the white one. And like I've seen for the Hispanic children, it's like, okay, but which one do you look more like? And it's like, oh, I look more like the black, mm-hmm. brown.
So you internalize these things.
Yeah, you internalize them. And it's just this big thing that a lot of like white is better, mm-hmm. or lighter skin is better. And I know it's not just in Africa. Yeah. That is in Central America, Latin America.
In Asia.
Everywhere.
In Asia, that's in like Indian cultures. It's a big thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anti-blackness. Yeah, we talked about this.
Oh, okay, yeah.
One thing I wish that I was able to explore more is going to different denominations of churches. Because the Catholic Church is probably not like the best fit for me. Yeah. And maybe if I was given a chance to look at other churches, maybe there would be a religion that I was ascribed to. For my church in particular, I feel like I was getting lectured at. Mm. So my pastor, he was from Zimbabwe. He's retired now, but if babies are crying, he'd be like, keep your crying babies in the back. And then, like, that's how he talks. And then he'd be like, there shall be no homosexuality in the church. And I was like, oh my goodness. And then there was one time where he was like, and all of you that watch pornography, you shall go to hell. And everybody was shook. Everybody was frozen. You could hear a pin drop.
I bet all the men in there were like, I'm going to hell.
I was like, damn. Yeah. But yeah, like...
Yeah, I know, but there's so many different types of churches, which I think is really good. Mm-hmm. Because I think everyone, like, if you want to find God, if you want to, like, be in church, I think you can find a home.
Oh, for sure.
And that's interesting that you guys bring that up, because recently I've kind of talked to my dad briefly and some of my friends. I was like, you know, I love my church family because it's kind of like I grew up around them. Mm-hmm. But I've been kind of on the fence about like looking at other churches in the Austin area, just because I feel like...
Are you from Austin?
Yeah, I'm from Austin. So like I'm part of a group at UT, and a lot of times like we meet on Sundays. It's a Christian org. And everyone goes to different churches, but then when we meet, people are like, oh, my sermon was this, my sermon was that. And I feel like lately it's been like, I didn't get
anything. Like you're missing out.
Yeah. I was like, you know, maybe I'm so stuck in the status quo. Maybe I'm just like, you know, go there, sing for church.
Your routine.
And my routine. Like, I feel like, and I had to check myself. So that's why I haven't like fully gone in to start. But I, you know, some Sundays I go to other places if I'm not ministering that Sunday. Right. And people are always like, where were you? What are you doing?
I think that's important. Yeah, if you're really going to have a healthy relationship with God, I think it's important to find something like be in a community that fosters that.
Right.
That's good for you.
Right.
Because I know there's a church I go to. My parents still go there sometimes. But like we know the pastor, like he started his own church. And like, I like this guy, but like when I go to that church, it feels like I'm getting lectured by my parents who talk about one thing and they talk about it 10 times over and over again. And I go to the church and I sit there and I'm like, okay, you already said that. You already said that. You said that it's the redundant. Same way.
Yeah.
And I don't get anything from it.
I
don't like going there.
That reminds
me. Because if I'm going to church, I want to get something out of it.
I want
to be taught from the Bible. I want to like have a lesson that I can actually apply to my life.
Yeah.
And I don't get that there.
And religion can be a good thing and it can also be a bad thing. I just remembered an aspect where it can be a bad thing is when people use religion to like twist the words and put those words onto people and judge them for it. You know what I mean? Or they're not really like using the word of God. They're just using their own interpretation.
They have their opinion in it.
Yeah.
They like say, oh, I think this, but oh yeah, and the Bible said this one little verse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've been having like conflict with alcohol lately. Like my dad was like, alcohol's a sin. You can, and I just turned 21, so I've been drinking.
I've been drinking.
He found out and he was like, oh, my gosh, you're, what are you doing? I'm like, Dad, there's nowhere in the Bible that says I can't drink. And he's like, it's a sin. It's a sin.
Is
I'm
it
like,
really? Does it say in the Bible?
No, that I mean, there's a like verse about drunkenness. Yeah. And that's about it's
like,
I it.
Guess like, that's the thing. Like, a lot of one verses get blown out of proportion. Like,
don't even. Yeah. And so I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't like that. Because my favorite movie, very controversial, is 12 Years a Slave. And there's.
That's your favorite movie. Well, that's why I said it. How's that your favorite?
Like, it's a good
movie.
Movie
your favorite
because it
movie?
Moved me emotionally. Yeah. Like, no, movies haven't moved me emotionally like that.
Everyone's
entitled
to their opinion,
yeah.
I guess.
So let me have mine.
Okay.
But there's a scene where the slave owner is using the Bible to tell these people that they're meant to be slaves. Mm. And if you think about it, that's what happened in real life. Like, they use the Bible to twist their words into controlling people. And I think that's messed up.
You know, I was at the coffee shop and I was eavesdropping on these two women. Well, I didn't have my headphones in and they were talking about something similar to this. Where it's two black women and they're talking about how in slave times, like, the church is where a lot of people felt safe. It's where they didn't have to be slaves. They could come together as a community and worship and sing and enjoy each other's presence without the slave master being there. You know, it was like a time for community. And I think that's a good point. You know, like, even if it wasn't brought to them in the right way, I think it still helps a lot of people.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It can be a place of refuge.
No, that's the good thing. The community that it brings, people with same like-minded, like-mindedness when it comes to certain issues. It's just a sense of community. That's the good thing that is with religion.
But I've also seen, like, where it becomes, like, oversaturated and it's, like, prosperity preaching. Like, you will be a millionaire. You just do this.
The mega church.
Yeah.
No, get into it.
TV evangelist. And,
that Joel Osteen, I never liked him.
and after that, like, whole Houston. And I feel like they have something. But, like, but if it's every time I'm going to you, it's like, you're going to be blessed and just
tie and put the money in. And you're this will happen.
Taking advantage of poor people.
Yes.
Oh, if I just donate a little bit more, maybe I'll go to heaven. And maybe one day God will bless me
and
with $1 million.
And it happens in Nigeria. The church
and
is
it's
a
sad.
Lot.
They take advantage of these people.
Flying private jets and their congregation is, like, looking
I think
for...
it's one of the things I hate the most. Like, as a preacher, you do not need to be a millionaire. You do not. What are you doing? The money should go into the church and growing the church. What are you doing taking so much money and having this
for
huge
yourself.
House and having these nice cars? You're a preacher. Like, preach the word of God and, like, bring the community together. What
and they
do
just,
you
like, justify, like, well, God, you know, he's blessing me.
Oh, my God.
I'm, you know, I'm a
okay,
child of the kingdom. Like, right, you know.
Bless everybody in the congregation.
You should be
then.
A blessing unto
Give
others,
back.
Right?
Like, you don't need to be taking that much money. Even if your church is bringing in that much money, grow the church. Yeah. What do you need? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Well, there's people out there, and a lot of people on the left, that or on the far left, I would say, that believe that churches should be taxed. What do y'all believe about that? Like, what do y'all think about that?
I don't know if I agree, but I don't know if I disagree. I guess I think a lot of people's problem with it is, like, mega churches.
Yeah.
Because
they're untaxed.
Yeah, but I think there are a lot of small churches that really do need that untaxed because, like, is their job. Yeah. Like, that's their job. And, like, without it, they wouldn't be getting any money. Like, you have to live as a preacher. You have to, like, they probably have family to take care of. So I understand that. But when it gets these really big churches that become nationwide and TV and all of that, when they're untaxed, that's problematic because these preachers, they become rich.
Yes, Joel Osteen has a book out every
week. Yeah, it's not even that they have money and that they're living a good life. Like, they become rich. You don't need to be
wealthy
rich.
Even.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I think that's where it becomes problematic. But at the local level, there's a lot of local
churches,
and I don't think that's a problem, but I think it becomes a problem with these really huge churches that take advantage of it.
What classifies somebody as a mega church, though?
I think mega churches start having, like, really big multiple campuses, and then they, like, do, like, I don't know. Some of them have TV.
Yeah, several services, like arena type.
Like arena type things.
And they exist.
You can tell.
In Texas.
In Texas they're
big. Bible Belt.
Yeah, it's not just like a big church. It's like a huge church, multi-levels. Like, you're seating thousands of people. And to me, I think those churches often take advantage of people.
And I think with the tax thing, I mean, we just talked about separation of church and state. So it's like... where do you draw?
Yeah. Because if you're going to say that it shouldn't be influenced in our laws, then you can't.
Yeah. It's tough. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Wait, is it only churches or is it all religious? Like,
oh, Scientology is not text.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make sure, because if it was like only churches, I think that's even more problematic. Yeah, that would be a problem. But okay. But just want to make sure.
Speaking of Scientology, there's people that put down Scientology as not being a real religion. Mm-hmm. But my thing is that people say it's a cult and people have really strong like opinions when it comes to Scientology.
Did you guys watch that documentary?
I watched a little bit of it.
I didn't watch it, but you can look up stories of people who have left the quote-unquote church.
Right.
Uh-huh. And what they talk about, and it's wild. Scary. I haven't watched a documentary, but I've read a lot of like stories about what people have gone through.
Right.
So I don't know if I would call that a church.
But the thing is, I don't think it's fair for people to say that that's not a church when the same rules can be applied to any other mass religion. Just because it's followed by more people doesn't make it more legitimate.
I guess, like, a lot of the bigger religions, let's say Judaism, Islam, Christianity, Buddhism, stuff like that, is a lot more rooted in history, and it has a lot... I don't know. I guess substance is a bad...
I'm not slippery.
I'm just saying that, like, I don't know if substance is the right word because it's all subjective, right?
Right.
But Scientology, if you really read about it and what it's about, I don't know if that could be described as a church. Because you could really...
I'm telling you, the same argument can be made for any other religion.
I don't know what I saw this on. It's like, you could say anything is a religion, but I don't think it necessarily makes it a valid religion. Like, you could say the church is spaghetti or something. Like, that doesn't make it valid.
I mean, but what does make it valid, though?
That's what I'm saying. It's subjective.
Yeah. Just because a bunch of people follow it doesn't make it any more legitimate than any other religion.
But where do we separate the definition of a cult and a church? Because Jamestown, he was like, these are my people. And he murdered all of them.
Damn. Like, see, that's the thing with religion. You don't know. Everything is subjective.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's subjective. So it's hard to draw a line there because it's hard. It's just hard.
There's no line to start from.
Yeah, so, it's hard.
Yeah. So that's that. I don't know. Is there anything else y'all wanted to cover?
I think that ties it all together. It's just that as a generation, we're becoming less religious, but there are people who are religious, and there are problems with religion and how it can be taken advantage of. Mm-hmm.
But that can be with anything.
Yeah, that can be with anything. So...
Yeah, nothing is inherently bad. There's positives to everything. I might not be religious. I don't judge people that are religious. Everybody's entitled to their own belief. And I think it's dangerous or harmful when people villainize like one group over the other. I love everybody. Ooh, I just remembered one thing I wanted to touch on. Do you think that it's possible for somebody to like support what Trump is doing, but yet still claim that they are this holier-than-thou Christian?
Do I think it's possible? Country. Yes.
I mean, but what do you think about that? Like, how
it's tough.
Do you believe that you can support what he's doing, but at the same time still maintain your wholesome Christian values?
I don't know.
About loving each other?
Like, wholesome is an extreme word. I think people get different things from religion. I think saying that what Trump is doing is the work of God is extreme. It's a stretch.
Reach.
But people believe that for sure.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know what they believe. I really don't understand it. It's like, I don't have anything else to say. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. And I don't think that's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, everybody's entitled to their own beliefs. That's why we live in this country. But
bringing up like the church and maybe the intersections of race.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bring it up.
Yeah. the other day, like I went with my aunt who doesn't go to my church, but she did at one point, left, and now she has her own ministry. So she was like, oh, I need help. I'm going to this church. And I was like, yeah, auntie, like, no problem. And so we go, she's ministering and she has a table with resources and like CDs, Christian artists, books, her own book, but like other Christian things too. And I mean, I noticed that, you know, this congregation is white.
Okay.
And I don't have a problem with that. You know, I love contemporary Christian music sometimes, you know, but, you know, sometimes it hits. Sometimes it's good.
Okay.
But, yeah, I was at the table and I'm sitting there and this guy comes up and he's like, oh my gosh, is this you? And I'm like, what do you mean? Is this me? And he looks at this Tasha Cobb CD and he's like, yeah, that's you, right? And
oh, I'm like, my
goodness. And I was like, no, that's not me. And then another woman comes up and she's like, oh my gosh, this must be your CD. And I'm like, I'm not Tasha. Tasha Cobbs. Like,
they really got her thinking that she's Tasha Cobbs.
They really think we all look alike.
We don't. It's
crazy. And like, he looked at the back of the seat. He's like, this he really you. Looked at him. And I was like, no, it's
that's,
not.
That's how you know that they don't see enough black people, you know, in their congregation.
And I think sometimes, I don't know, like, I want to say, like, God loves everyone and everything, but I feel like we need to address race in church and not pretend, like, you know, I don't exist. See color. And
yeah.
So annoying. Yeah. Problematic. Because yeah. I've interviewed people that believe that color doesn't exist. No,
we talked about this in one of my classes, actually, and, like, looked at the research on it. How that is very negative, and it's only white people that are, like, teaching their children this.
That color doesn't exist. Yeah, that's problematic.
Yeah, they're doing problematic.
It's, they're
yeah,
not.
This yeah. girl in my class, she's white, and she's talking about how that is what she was taught, and that, like, when it came time to talk about race, she didn't know how to talk right. about it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they don't talk about it because they don't know how to talk about it. They think it's not, like, a problem.
Yeah.
But then they grow up and they realize it is a problem for everyone else.
Yeah. yeah.
But to them, they don't see it as a problem because they don't experience the issues that come along right. with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's something else.
Right. Another issue for another day. But yeah, I like this discussion that we had on religion. Lots to unpack. So now let's transition to listener letters.
Okay, so I came up with a name because this person was upset we didn't give them an Evo name last time.
Right.
So I'm going to call this person Ify.
Oh!
That's my sister's name.
Aw.
But so if you're listening, hi Ify.
Hey.
So the first question was actually, how did me and Justin meet? But we already talked about that. It's not that interesting.
Yeah.
So we're gonna say our first impressions of each other.
Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay. So whenever I first met Nikki in the summer of 2017, my first impression, I was like stunned by her beauty.
Really?
I was like, yes. I was like, wow. I've never seen.
Excited
I was like, wow, she's so beautiful. Like, that was like my aww, first like baseline so impression of Nikki. But then we started to talk more, and then we eventually went down this rabbit hole, and now somehow I tricked her and now we're friends. So that was my baseline first impression. Like, I was just stunned by her beauty.
Aww.
Okay, so my first impression was that Justin is a fool.
Which is true.
Okay, so, like, at the summer program, there's this one day. So we got lunch. We got provided, like, lunch and sometimes dinner, right? So there's this one day. We had a group meet of, like, all 80 of us, right, in the program. And Justin's like, guys, he sent a picture, too. He's like, guys, we're having steak and lobster for lunch. And I was like, he is a liar. The devil is a liar. So I go on Google and I type in steak and lobster. And I find the picture that Justin put in the group me on Google. And I showed my roommates. I was like, y'all, this picture is from Google. Like, he's a liar.
I'm dead.
And people were like, steak and lobster? Steak and lobster? Oh my God. We're like, we're really getting treated. Wow, this program is it. Like, we are really treating
I'm dead.
So I really thought that's Justin funny. Was just, like, the class clown.
She thought it basically. Was a clown, and I still think I'm a clown.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so. But that was my first impression.
Right. First impression was correct.
It was accurate. Yeah.
Yes, very accurate.
Okay, so what's your favorite quality about one another?
You go first this time.
Okay, my favorite quality about Justin is that he's really funny. You guys probably know this. You know this.
Funny in quotation marks.
No, Justin, like, you're actually really funny. Yeah. And I've told Justin that he could, like, really do something with his humor. So, yeah.
I don't know. So what quality do I like of Nikki's? Oh, that's easy.
Here he goes with a joke.
No, it's not a joke. It's true. One thing I do like about Nikki is her honesty. I think that whenever you have friends with people, it's really important for you to keep people in your circle that are going to be honest with you no matter what. So if there's something that I do that Nikki doesn't agree with or thinks that I shouldn't do, she'll tell me that. And she's not afraid to voice her opinions when it comes to stuff that I do. So if there's anything that I need her opinion on, I know that she's going to give me a valid, honest opinion, and she's not going to sugarcoat whatever it is. So that's one quality of Nikki that I really do appreciate.
This is funny. So what's one thing that irks you about the other? So I'll go first.
Okay.
This is funny because what Justin said is very true about me. And the thing that irks me about Justin is that he is non-confrontational and he beats around the bush a lot. So
explain.
Like, we're very different in that sense. I will just say what I'm feeling. Mm. But Justin's like, oh, I don't want to hurt your feelings, so I'm going to, like, beat around the bush and try and say it nice. Or, like, if there's an issue, he's not going to be confrontational about it. And then that can be problematic, not with necessarily us, but other issues, relations that he's had with other people. Yeah. That can be problematic.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm just like, just say what you feel.
Yeah, my that's a big thing
for me. I'm like, if it's on your chest, just say it.
Let it out. Your chest. Yeah, I just don't like hurting people's feelings. Aww. Or if there's a way to resolve conflict without an explosion, I'll definitely take that route.
I guess like me, I don't think it necessarily has to be an explosion, but I think you should just say like what you're feeling.
Yeah.
Because then it becomes muddled and confusing and weird emotions might come out. You might sound like you're crying. Oh, why didn't you text me back?
See, now the question has turned on me. Now I have to give Nikki a trait that I don't like about her.
I feel like I know what he's going
to
say.
I don't know what to say exactly. See, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. Aww. So I'm not going to say anything.
Really?
I don't know what to... I don't really think about these things. What annoys me about you?
Yes.
Your quietness? Your introvertedness? Is that what you thought I was going to say?
No.
What do you think
I'm gonna say?
No, say it, because I might be able to expand. No. No, say it.
No, just say what's on your chest.
Nothing is on my chest.
Okay, then.
No, you have to say, the listeners are going to be annoyed. They're going to be like, why didn't she tell us?
No, because it might not be a problem. I might be perfect.
No, just tell me. No, tell me.
No.
Please.
No.
You're not going to tell me?
No, I'm not going to tell you.
Wow.
So thank you guys for listening.
Yes.
I hope you guys enjoyed this video. You guys can probably relate
video.
To this
Are we on
video.
YouTube?
I was like, oh, yeah, like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Down below. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Please do subscribe, though. Yes. If you're listening on Spotify, hit the follow button. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please hit the subscribe button.
Leave us a review. Send us listener letters. Yes. We want to hear from you. If you want to hear some crazy things about us, ask us.
And follow the podcast page, @PolarOppositesPod on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm ready to answer some juicy questions.
Me too.
Honestly.
Bring us some tea. But thank you so much for joining us, Bomi.
Thank you guys for having me. I like this.
Aww,
I was
thank
so
you.
Nervous.
No, don't okay. be nervous. It's just a conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you guys.
No problem. But with that being said, we hope you guys have a good rest of your week. Be kind to one another. Love each other. Religion is amazing. And yeah, with that being said, we'll catch you guys on the next one.
Yeah.